How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. He was at the game yesterday and is ready to sing the praises of Ivica Zubac. That's what we're going to do here in a second. But before we get to that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, SilverSkin, Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using all the promo codes, LO Lakers, Lakers10, Just Lakers, whatever it might be, and for whatever corporation that you have to use it for. Today is pretty simple. The conversation surrounding the Lakers has been pretty much just about Ivica Zubac. He's been playing really well, and he deserves, in many people's eyes, to start. He definitely deserves, in anybody objectives, you know, objectively speaking, he deserves more minutes. And more minutes around, you know, say, D'Angelo Russell. But we're going to start the conversation with whether or not he deserves to start. And then we, as Julius Randle seems like he's, you know, working his way back, and obviously Russell played last night. It looks like the Lakers are finally going to have their full roster for the first time in months. So Harrison and I are going to figure out what that rotation is going to be like now that we are, you know, what are we, 51 games into the season, and the Lakers finally have their roster together for the first time in quite some time. So, Harrison, you were there at the game last night. Zubac finishes with, what was it, 17 points, 6 rebounds on 8 of 9 shooting, right? That's what I am remembering off the top of my head.
Something like that. I don't have the box score in front of me, but I remember the 17 points because that was a career high for him.
Yeah, he's getting a new career high. It seems like every game, right?
So yeah, I think you're predicting 18 on Thursday.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And but, then he'll score 19 to honor his age on Friday.
That'd be funny if he just goes like point by point, and then in the final game of the year, he scores 60 to.
Fitting tribute to Kobe, the successor dropped 60.
Yeah. So, all right, you were there last night. Obviously, fans are going nuts for this kid. You're of the opinion...
It's the closest thing I've ever seen to Linsanity. And I say that as someone who wasn't around Linsanity, so I'm not really the best reference point, but...
I wouldn't quite call it Linsanity quite yet. I would.
Yeah, neither would I. I'm being a little bit facetious. But okay. There is definitely... a movement. Fans are interested in this guy. He gets arguably the loudest cheers of any Laker coming into and out of games now. So, which probably says as much about the rest of the team as it does about him. But this fan base really wants hope. And right now he is a big 7-foot mold of clay / mold of hope, I guess you would say. I don't know. We just don't really know exactly what he's going to be. And I think people are what you think of Zubac is almost like a Rorschach test right now, where he's an ink blot, and a lot of people are seeing a lot of different things.
Well, it's kind of funny because like I woke up today to two or three people asking me, you know, is it crazy to think he might be better than all of the Lakers' young core, you know? And
I think I texted you, is he going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. And you did that facetiously, but people are asking these questions seriously. And again,
playing so well that yeah. we don't just immediately burst into hysterics laughing.
Well, I kind of do, But I feel
you
like
didn't, you didn't though. So I'm just, I don't know. I'm just saying.
But it's tough because I feel like I'm always the guy who's like, all right, guys, let's calm down a little bit. Let's, you know,
Anthony Wet Blanket Irwin.
Yeah, I just pee on parades constantly. And so with this thing, like when people ask me that question and when people ask me, you know, what could he actually be? What could he potentially be? You know, and for me, it's tough because these things don't happen in vacuums, right? Like if you would have told me when Clarkson signed his $48 million deal, I would have said, yeah, nobody would ever, you know, have a problem with that money level, right? Nobody would have, he's going to continue to get better than this and that and the other, but he's plateaued in ways this season that I don't think anybody saw coming. And that can happen to a young player. You can see a whole bunch of potential. You could see a whole bunch of growth. And then all of a sudden they kind of plateau as either the league figures them out or, you know, the growth itself is unsustainable, whatever the reason might be. These things don't happen on straight line kind of planes. So when people
to be fair to Clarkson, I do think that he's grown a little bit in ways this year, and then he's also taken steps back at times. I think it's been, there's been a back and forth with him.
Yeah,
well, I know that's not the point of this discussion, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, and even by that though, right? Like overall, are you happy with the season that Clarkson has had?
No, but I wouldn't say that I wouldn't say that I'm dissatisfied with it either. I think there are extenuating circumstances there. I think that he would look a little bit better if he wasn't always playing alongside Williams. And that's not to take a dig at Williams. Williams has been amazing. And if we're just going off of basketball merit, he deserves to have the ball in his hands in those units. But I'm just saying that Clarkson would probably look a little bit better if paired next to more of like a shooter, floor spacer type guy than a guy that needs the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and that's all fine. And the reason I ask that is because for those who are disappointed with this season, that means that, you know, expectations were there that he was going to continue to grow at the rate he had grown since he became a Laker, right? And you know, that would continue till his like age 25 season, and then he would be the player that we you
and
know,
then
that
he would
he's
be
going
Westbrook.
To be. Yeah, and then he would be Westbrook.
Do you remember that from his rookie year? That was one of our earliest segments on Lakers Outsiders, was Googling Clarkson Westbrook and trying to find the most ridiculous comparison.
Yeah,
I don't think you're going to be finding many of those this season.
Well, right now, you could Google Zubats and Marc Gasol. Like, that's something you could Google, and I would imagine that would bring up a few funny tweets.
Yeah, it probably would. That's a good idea. Somebody should do that, like, right now.
So with Zubats, it's tough because I do want to say, like, as exciting as this has been, and I want to make sure everybody knows, I'm still really excited. I still really like watching this kid play. He does a whole bunch of good things every time he's on the basketball court. But for me, it's really tough to start trying to, you know, take that next step and figure out what he might be long term, because he's been so good and because he's so young and because there are so many variables at play. That, you know, it's impossible to tell these things. And this isn't quite the discussion that we intended to have. But, the Zubat stuff, I hate being that guy, but I'm going to continue to be the guy who says, guys, let's pump the brakes a little bit and let this kid come along at the pace he comes along.
Yeah, you may be that guy, but Twitter is not that guy. I found at least 50 tweets comparing him to Marc Gasol. So well done, Lakers fans. You're living up to the stereotype, and I love it. I think I compared him to Kobe Bryant last night, though. So that's like, and Pau Gasol, actually. So that's, you know, if I live in a glass house, I shouldn't throw stones.
Do you have a couple gems there in front of you?
No, most of them were just like, I'm telling you, Zubats is the next Marc Gasol. The Lakers drafted Zubats is Marc Gasol. Remember, the Lakers drafted him too. Like nothing that truly stood out the way some of the Clarkson Westbrook tweets back in the day stood out.
I think that would be an interesting question to ask Mitch Kupchak.
If, like, Zubats is Marc Gasol, or if he tweets about it,
if he like at Mitch Kupchak is tweeting out. Yeah. I wonder if he could tweet out in Mitch voice. Like, he would just send videos of himself saying things in Mitch voice. But what I...
Sure.
Hashtag Mitch voice. So I would want it, but like in all seriousness, I'd be interested to ask Mitch when they drafted him, when they saw this kid work out, like, could you compare where Marc Gasol was when he saw Marc Gasol work out compared to where Zubats is right now?
That's interesting, actually. I would be very curious to know the answer to that question.
Yeah. I swear, sometimes I have good ideas.
Okay, so just do Mitch voice. So, Mitch, when you were looking at tape of Ivica Zubats and you couldn't pronounce his name at the time, like you revealed on draft night, were you just calling him Marc Gasol for short because that's what he reminded you of?
Well, you know, Marc Gasol, he comes from Spain. His brother, Pau, was a really good player for us. He's about, you know, he's a legitimate 7 feet tall. He's bigger in frame than Pau was. And when I watch Ivica...
Okay, I think you know, don't be... I think he knows how to pronounce his name now. I just remember one of my favorite things of draft night was him revealing that they had to have somebody else call the name into the league office because he didn't know how to say it.
My favorite thing, though, about Mitch is if you ask him that question, he's immediately like, he'd say... Well, Gasol's from Spain.
Just start reading off their resumes.
Yeah, like, just
that's kind of his response to any question about like a specific person. Yeah, he just reads their resume until he decides what he wants to say.
Mitch, what's your take on Twitter takes and what Twitter has done for analysis of players?
Well, you get 140 characters.
Okay, this is going on. This is going on far too long. Let's get it. Right. So, we wanted to talk about: do we think Ivica Zubats should be starting? Where should he be in the rotation? All of that stuff. I mean, the one thing that's for sure, like you said, is that he should be in the rotation. And I thought that he had a really strong, like, interesting quote last night when he just said, "I was working for these minutes, and I'm not going to let them go now." After closing out the fourth quarter for the first time. So mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting, and I mean, how many minutes should he be getting? Should he be starting? How do you feel? I guess I could probably guess, given that you've been such a wet blanket about this the whole podcast, but what do you think? How much should Ivica be playing?
What's he playing now? He's playing what?
And why is it 48 minutes a game?
He's playing what, like 18 minutes a game right now?
Something like that.
Yeah. How many did he play last night? Do you know that? I would guess about 20.
He played all but 12 seconds of the fourth quarter. I don't remember exactly how much I can look that up right now.
So I would say if he's at about 18 minutes a game right now on average, I would say I'd like to see that average bump up to about 23 to 24 minutes a game by the end of the year. Like, you know, in February, now that we're in February, I'd like to see his February minute average to be about 24 per game. Does that seem fair, or am I being too conservative there?
That's about what he's been playing. Over the last four games, he's played 19, 28, 26, and 21 minutes.
Wait, he played... Oh, how many did... What's the 28-minute game?
The 28-minute game was against Portland.
Okay, and he played 21 minutes last night?
Yeah, he played 21 last night with 11:48 coming in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, see, that's not... That disbursement isn't good.
Yeah, well... I think Denver kept going small, and I think Luke was trying to match up with them, and then eventually he just said, like, hey, I have this future perennial MVP candidate on my bench. Let me throw him out there, let him set some screens, and the Lakers just closed things out. It's a brilliant move by Luke. Or maybe he was like, you know how the Celtics, they save Isaiah Thomas for fourth quarters? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what Luke was doing. He's like, hey, I need Ivica. You're going to sit a lot in this third because I need you fresh for the fourth. I need our closer.
Are these verbatim quotes of what you heard post game?
Yeah, 100%. No, they're not even. No, not at all.
So, all right. I guess
somebody
yeah.
should have asked. So I should have asked about whether or not he was saving Ivica like Isaiah Thomas. I'm sure that would have gotten a great response.
I'm sure it would have. I wonder. Like, I feel like Luke, especially after a win, is willing to have a little bit of fun. Like, he said that everybody had fun in that game except Bill Orem, because Bill Orem doesn't have fun.
Yeah,
so
I see no lies.
Yeah. So, yeah, would you say then, I'd say 24 minutes a game for Zubats seems fair. He's only 19. And there's still 30 games to go. Like, that's the 30 games that he has to play for the rest of this year, I would imagine, is still more games than he's played in any single season.
I'd have to check how many games a year they play for his European teams, but you're probably around right on that.
Yeah, and so
it sounds right, so I'm willing to give it to you. You said it with a lot of confidence.
I kind of look at it as like a relationship. We're like,
oh no, these are always your best analogies.
Always, but you start in a relationship, you go on like the first date or something like that, and then you immediately push too hard, and you think, oh my god, this is going so great, and the only person that you're thinking about is that person, and you text too much and this and that, and then eventually they say, whoa, too much too soon.
You didn't have to read my relationship history on air, man. That was messed up. Like, I told you this stuff in confidence.
It wasn't that everybody's been there. Everybody's been there who's ever dated a girl. Like, we've all made that mistake. What I don't want to have here, and what happens in those relationships is you get burnt out, right? The girl says, all right, too much too soon. The relationship kind of burns out. And what I don't want to have here, there's
or
so...
you're on, or you get burnt out of somebody doing that.
Yeah, exactly. But with Zubats, he's the most positive story the Lakers have going for them this year, right?
This year, I don't know about this year, but this month.
Well, from start to finish of the year, what's been a better story than Ivica Zubats? I don't think there is one.
He hasn't had time to have any negative parts to his story.
Right, and what I'm saying is, if this could be a potential negative thing that the Lakers could create if they all of a sudden lean on him too much. That's why I'm hesitant to have him start, because like right now it's a great story, it's a feel good kind of thing. The Lakers kind of need a win on the year, and I feel like if they rely on him too heavily, that could potentially be that could take a negative turn. That, like, frankly, I just want something to look at this year and say, like, that was cool from start to finish. And I might be being overly conservative regarding Zubats, but, you know, I think eventually he's going to start, but I don't think he should start, like, tomorrow. That shouldn't be...
What about Friday, though?
Well, that's what I mean. By the time people are listening to this, it's Thursday when we're talking about tomorrow's game.
Oh, okay. So, like, Monday then, you think? Like, hold off?
All right. Make the case, then, that he should start.
So, actually, my answer to this is different. Based on whether or not I think he will start or whether or not I think he should start, I don't think he will start because of the reasons that we've talked about. I mean, maybe some of the reasons that you just talked about there, and then some of the reasons we've talked about before, where the Lakers just thinking pragmatically, the Lakers just gave Mozgov a lot of money. I highly doubt they want to bench him, barring an injury, this quickly into that contract. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's almost the biggest reason. But I'd say the reason I think it should happen is you can't get the money that you gave to Mozgov back. And eventually he's going to be a guy who's more of a role player for this team. I mean, he's kind of already more of a role player for this team anyway, even if he is in the starting lineup. And so, you know, maybe Ivica won't start. Maybe he will. But I think he should be starting, all things being equal, because you want to get the young guys as much time together as possible. You want to get him burn out there against good players to try and build experience. Although that may work against in kind of the way that you were talking about him being a positive storyline, because if he gets beaten up, if they expose him that way and he gets beaten up a little bit, then that's kind of all of a sudden it becomes Ivica Zubats can't play defense. Ivica Zubats can't do this. He can't do that, rather than, holy crap, Ivica Zubats is way better than we thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, here's a better way to phrase this question then, because to me, I've never really particularly cared about who starts a game, right? For me, it's exponentially more important who finishes a game, you know, who finishes quarters and those kinds
That's
of things.
That's fair.
And so I think a better way to phrase this is, how far out are we where Zubats consistently gets the most front court minutes of anybody on the Lakers?
That actually might be a more interesting question.
And I think we're a couple weeks away from that.
I think we're close, honestly. Yeah. If he continues to play, now he could hit a rookie wall. We've seen that happen with Brandon Ingram a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there's always that possibility. But the if he continues to play the way that he's playing right now, even with some of the defensive issues, he's still shown some good things on that end. And it's not like the Lakers were stopping anybody anyway. I just think you've got to throw him out there.
So
I
kind of misspoke. So I think Randle is always going to lead the front court in minutes.
Oh, I assumed we were talking just center. So
centers,
I knew what you meant, even if you misspoke.
Yeah. So I would say we're a week, maybe 2 weeks away, at most 2 weeks away, from Zubats leading the centers on the Lakers in minutes played.
It'll be fun to revisit this in 2 weeks and see if we were like way off base.
I hope we're not, because that would mean that like Zubats, you know, took a step back. And
honestly, this has been one of the more fun things to write about this season. It's just because it was unexpected. At first, he was kind of this like novelty who showed some good stuff in summer league, but it's like he's not going to actually do that once the actual season starts. And then he's actually like every time he gets minutes, he does good things. It's been, like that's the type of story you want to look for. It's fun.
Well, it's also what makes it also easier to write about and cover is that there's a consensus across all social media, right? Like everybody feels good about Zubats. Whereas, like
his approval rating is up there with Santa Claus right now.
Yeah, unless we're talking about Philadelphia Santa Clauses, and then you know that's just a whole different story. But
they worship Joel Embiid instead of and like Sam Hinkie or something. Like they have like some weird religion there where they like just yell trust the process all the time.
Yeah, I could just see them all wearing hoods to their games and just chanting. But
trust the process. Just like there are like candles in the crowd, and
dude, they should go full cult. Why not? So
they basically have.
Yeah. So
they're candles and robes away from being full cult status.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So I wanted to expand this then at this point, since we covered Zubats. Oh, the point I was going to finish though with about Zubats and like the why it's so much easier and more fun to cover the story is because of that consensus. Whereas like when we write about D'Angelo Russell, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm constantly reminding people like that was the name of the show last night, right? Where it was, hey, it turns out this guy's pretty good at basketball.
That was probably the best show headline you've ever come up with, if I can just say.
Yeah, but doesn't that...
So D'Angelo Russell is actually good, it turns out.
Yeah, that's kind of... That was good to find out. But with Ingram, it's the same kind of thing, you know, where you kind of feel... I feel like I have to go back and reassure
people
about him. Yeah,
there's definitely... There's civil war among Lakers fans right now over pretty much every single player on the roster other than Zubats. And I think Larry Nance Jr. is pretty well, like, universally loved as well.
Yeah, so... I think that's where that's coming
but
from.
But other than those two guys, every single other person you can mention their name to someone, and they're like, there's a 50% chance they'll want to fight you.
Yeah. Temecula is a really busy area right now, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's true. That's where Lakers fans go to fight, so I'm sure the traffic getting there is crazy right now. So I think. You mentioned D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram and all of them, but especially Russell, I thought last night, obviously he stood out in regards to that podcast. You know, he's actually good, and he showed that last night. Mm-hmm. But I wrote about this a little bit after the game because I talked to both him and Zubats about it, and I thought that their skill sets go together like peanut butter and jelly, basically, especially on the offensive end.
All right, do you like crunchy peanut butter or you like creamy peanut butter?
Probably creamy.
God, you softy. Anyway.
Literally.
But yeah, no, they fit really well. I talked about this on the post game show as well. They're pick and roll. Zubat sets incredible picks and Russell makes really good decisions.
And he's just giant. So yeah. Like even when he doesn't make full contact on a screen, the guy still has to scramble around it, and Russell has enough time to get a shot off.
Yeah, or you know, enough space to make the proper pass. Like yeah, one thing exactly. I was really you know, that made me, because I went back and watched some of the game as well, not the full game, but especially the minutes that Russell was playing, was he was able to throw that kind of cross body. He has the ball in his left hand, and he's able to whip it across his body either to, you know, the wing or in some cases all the way down to the corner. And you can't do that if there's a defender in front of you, right? Because now you're bringing the ball right in front of the defender's face to make that pass.
Yeah.
But because Zubats is you know, killing people with these screens, Russell has a lot more space, and that pass was hugely effective yesterday. And he had enough pace on it so that the you know, shooter caught it with plenty of time to either shoot it with a clean look or make a good decision or whatever it might be. But yeah, those pick and rolls. And I think Pete Zayas, Laker Film Room, did the math, and he said that they were scoring more than 2 points per possession every time they ran that screen. That's insane.
Yeah, I was going to guess 10 points per possession, but yeah, I guess that's probably a little more reasonable.
The opposing team just starts getting technical fouls because they think it's illegal.
Yeah, they start yelling at the ref so often, they all get ejected.
Yeah, yeah, that's... I don't know if everybody was watching the same I'm watching, but that happened at least 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, so let's go ahead and expand this conversation and talk about the rotation now that the Lakers finally might have their full rotation. I'm going to knock on
the and you just right yeah here. You just jinxed it. Yeah. So we're gonna stop recording this podcast, and it's going to be unusable because it turns out like two guys kicked each other in the knee during practice and they're both out.
Mozgov's face got in the way. Like two guys went to hit Mozgov in the face and they jammed their fingers on each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just because, like, not out of anger, but just because his face is apparently a magnet during these practices. And during
that came up on the post game show again, and I just started cracking up.
He needs to wear like a face mask or something, or a helmet at this point.
Kobe should lend him his mask.
Yeah.
All right. So right now,
I'm gonna say Mask-gov.
It's too bad. It sounds like you're saying mask off. You know, like, maybe. Timofey mask on should be what it is. Well, anyway.
Never mind.
So the Lakers at this point right now, with Randle coming back, have, it looks like, 10, 11 guys who all seem to deserve minutes, right? Robinson has kind of fallen completely out of the rotation. Marcelo Huertas and Jose Calderon were never really in the rotation. So that that leaves 11 guys, and that's a lot of guys to try to find minutes for. The first guy who kind of feels not as important is Black, right? He looks like somebody who could, you know, kind of immediately lose minutes.
Yeah, and you kind of hate to do that because he hasn't really done anything wrong per se. It's just that you can't bench Mozgov entirely, and Zubats deserves to play. Yeah. And they've been starting Black at power forward to keep him in the rotation, but you can't do that once Randle comes back. And so I just think, yeah, he may end up being a rotation casualty for right now, or they may end up just playing too many guys.
Yeah. Well, I hope it doesn't get back to that, because, like,
I mean, even playing 10 guys is tough. So you would think that they wouldn't do that, but at the same time, I think Luke is fairly reticent to bench him.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he was benched altogether, but it also wouldn't shock me if he only played like 7 minutes.
Yeah, something, you know, like that. I feel like is probably the middle ground that it'll at least start off as.
And
then he may test out both Black and Zubats in the first half, and then whichever one is playing better, maybe give them more minutes, or maybe just move Mozgov mostly out of it in the second half and play mostly the latter two. I don't know. There are solutions there.
I would hope he doesn't do the hot hand theory with Black and Mozgov, or with Black and Zubats.
Whichever one of them's hitting their threes gets to play.
Yeah, like I really hope that Zubats it has to be the priority in the front court.
You would think so.
Yeah. And look, the other thing too, so this was something that I thought of last night, but with Deng and Mozgov, they aren't young right now, obviously, right? Like, that's been the knock on their
breaking news on Locked On Lakers.
This is the analysis that people come to listen to.
Luol Deng, not young. Bold take from Anthony. I'll edit in the hot take sound effect.
Old take from So with those guys, they aren't young already, and we, you know, the Lakers have 3 more years to go on both of those deals. So if they start playing fewer minutes this year, and that means that they might, there's a, you know, a potentially higher chance in theory that those guys are a little fresher towards the end of the contract because kids have stepped up in ways that the Lakers didn't need them in as much. That's actually a good thing. You know, that's actually a good thing. And I think that's what I'd be looking at if I was the front office and Mozgov started to get upset with his minutes or whatever, and he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would. But if he were, you know.
No, he's incredibly low key.
Yeah, so I would imagine though that if that conversation takes place, the easy way to frame it is, look, you're gonna be here a long time. We made a commitment to you, and all this does is it might potentially help ensure that you know, we'll get a return on this investment for a little longer throughout the contract than we might have originally thought. You know,
I think really their argument, I don't know what their argument is to Deng right now, but I think for Mozgov, I think all they have to do is like set up a meeting with him and just ask him. They're like, hey, you want to stop getting hit in the face for a couple weeks?
Yeah.
And he's like, and like, he'll be like, yeah, that sounds really nice. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to sit you down for just a few weeks. Just like save your face for the length of your contract.
Rubio says, change your face. The Lakers tell Mozgov to save your face.
Save your face. Not save face, save your face.
Save your actual face.
Getting hit with basketballs.
Fans of Gotham just watched that
I think
one
Tarik Black has been. I think Tarik Black has been watching some Mozgov tape. He got nailed with a few of those last night from Russell.
Yeah, he got. Yeah, there was the one play that actually went through his hands and hit him in the face.
Yeah.
So I would say then, so the starters for at least the next, I would say, week or so are going to be the ones that you would anticipate anyway, right? Russell,
probably.
Young, Russell, Young, Deng, Randall, and Mozgov. That's going to hold pretty consistent for the next week.
When
or
Randall,
so.
And again, all this is when Randall comes back.
Yeah.
Which is like he's questionable for tonight as of the recording of this podcast.
Yeah. So, from there, then it's going to be kind of nice to see that bench group back together again, right? Because they've kind of had to, you know, make do with guys who've been in and out of the lineup. It'll be kind of nice to see that bench group get out there and be able to just wreak havoc the way they did.
Well, it may not be the
year.
Same bench group if Zubats is going to be playing more.
Well, Zubats does a lot of the same things that Black does. And I think I was actually watching him because last night the one thing I was looking for was I wanted to see how well he moves. Like he moves his feet, gets up and down the court and this and that.
Yeah.
And he actually does a lot better than you would think.
No, he's shockingly mobile for a guy his size.
Mm-hmm. Unlike the host of this podcast, I am as mobile as you would think.
Possibly less.
Probably less. So as the year goes along then, the starting lineup, a realistic starting lineup that you'd like to see would be what then? Just the same lineup but with Zubats instead of Mozgov?
Honestly, I want to see Ingram get in there for Deng at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen Ingram just hasn't been good enough. What's up?
Yeah, I think Ingram's kind of hit a wall. So, like, that's Ingram playing well enough to earn it, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't hate Nance going into the starters, but I also just don't think that there's a reason to do – I don't think that they're going to do that to Randall.
Yeah. No,
I don't think that they want to create an issue there.
And I think Nance
done anything to lose it, so I just –
Well,
yeah.
Nance, I think Nance does things in that second unit. When you have two dominant ball handlers.
No, he's the glue that holds that whole unit together.
Yeah.
He compensates for all those guys' weaknesses in different ways.
Mm-hmm. So, I would say.
In ways that Randall can't.
In terms of fit, that just doesn't make. That would feel like change for the sake of change to do that.
Yeah, except for you were just advocating for him to start like a week ago or something, but you're never consistent, so it's fine.
Consistency is overrated, to be honest. So yeah, I would say then though that the lineup, the starting lineup that I'd like to see within the next couple weeks would be, you know, just Zubats in there for Mozgov. You know, Mozgov can kind of take a backseat to ride out the rest of this season. Get in there, play 20 minutes or so. And just maintain, you know, interest in this season.
To Mozgov, he was really good against Denver last night. Zubats was just better.
Mozgov finished with a +13. Like, these plus-minus numbers are kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little misleading, but mm-hmm. Mozgov, he was very helpful that against the Nuggets. He had the Timofey Mozgov version of a revenge game.
Oh, it's crazy that he was on that team once upon a time. So, anyway, that about does it for this discussion, unless you have anything else to add on the rotation. I'm happy, again, knock on wood, that it seems like the Lakers are, you know, they have some positive momentum. They're going towards finishing this year strong with their full potential lineups at hand. That's going to be fun to watch, and hopefully, you know, it's like we talked about the last show that you and I were on together. It's all about finishing the season with enough momentum to make fans and make everybody feel, you know, better about the season than we thought we might at one point.
Yep.
That does it for this one. Make sure
Hold on. I believe they're playing the Wizards tonight, right?
Yep, they play the Wizards. The Wizards are playing really good basketball. John Wall is
I think we're just mandated. As a Lakers podcast, we're mandated to do this and just give the Wizards a shout out for selling Jordan Clarkson for cash.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that. They could still use another ball handler out there, so I would imagine they.
Although they've been playing better lately, so I think I made the mistake. I poked the bear. That was my bad.
I think they've been among the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Since January or in January. So thanks for listening, everybody. Find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes. We will talk to everybody again tomorrow after the Lakers hopefully beat the Washington Wizards, but at least keep it close. They are heading out on what did Zubats call it? The Granny Tour?
No, he called it I had a typo in my tweet initially, and I quickly deleted it and brought it back. But he was asked if he was ready for the Grammy trip, and he said, "I don't know what's Grammy trip."
Dang it!
So he was asked if he minded the cold, and he said, "Not really, I'm hot," or something along those lines.
he's a legend. Yeah. I'm really bummed that he didn't. I really wanted it to really be that he called it a granny tour. That would have been awesome.
That would have been hilarious if he had asked, "What's the granny tour?" Yeah. Yeah, no, that wasn't what I had a typo and quickly deleted it.
Ah, that's too bad.
So I am fake news.
You are all right. We'll talk to everybody again before Harrison keeps on drags this podcast into the fake news area. Thanks for listening.
Shout out to Anthony Irwin for running a great podcast. Shout out to my man, Anthony Irwin. That was it was Irwin night. It was Irwin night tonight. He was sharing opportunities to make observations, made some big observations himself. Shout out to New Edition movie. Shout out to MostHated.LA.
All right. I hope nobody got that.
That would be, yeah. That.
Have a good one.